Hello. Good afternoon. Welcome on ING Bank Śląski financial results presentation for first quarter. On our side is Mr. Brunon Bartkiewicz, President of the bank, Mirek Boda, CFO, Monika Kobylińska, and me, Roland Pasz, Investor Relations. Our first question, we distributed our presentation. The question is, do we want to go through the presentation or we can focus question answer coming from you?
I think we can focus on Q&A.
Focus on Q&A. Can you introduce yourself to us?
Yes, it's Marta Czajkowska from KBC.
Yes.
All done.
And?
And who else?
Hi, this is Peter Rydliczka from Wood & Company.
Tomasz Walkowicz, UBS.
Tomasz Kowalski, KBC-TFI.
Thank you.
Maciej Galiński, Concord Asset Management.
Welcome. Okay. So it means we can start Q&A session. So please, for your questions.
I would like to start, if I may. Hi, hello, Peter Rydliczka from Wood & Company. I would like to ask about the losses on the FX options. We saw a significant bit in provisions, but also in trading. So my question is, what portion of the FX contracts were sort of restructured into loans? What portion matured in the first quarter? And what kind of losses, to get an idea, what kind of losses are we going to see in the second or third quarter as the remaining portion matures?
The answer is actually covered by the data that we have presented in our presentation. So the figures are 68 million on the income side and 45 million on the provision part. We are not revealing any information about what portion of the portfolio were actually restructured and in which form or which instrument were used per figures. I already being interviewed by the media, so I can repeat that. I have already said that over 50% of all the customers dealing with us, we are absolutely in full agreement and the restructuring talks were run. Of course, in some cases, the restructuring were almost nothing, or very small adjustments or whatever, but that's what we can reveal. We are also, as the principal of our corporation, we are not revealing any information to you which are giving you the hint about the results for the future, especially P&L. So I have to refuse to answer that question precisely. What we have commented during our today's first meeting with analysts was that we absolutely share the opinion that the impact of options for the results of the bank, the worst part of that is over. The impact in the future will be lower than in the past. So in principle, the major element of option is over, but I certainly will not say that there will be no impact in the future.
Okay, thank you. And am I right in assuming that the losses will be moving from the trading lines to the provisioning lines? As the contracts are restructured.
That's a right assumption.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes, sure. Hi. Maybe just first question on the provisioning. Just to follow up, if you could. Share with us what is happening in terms of split of your NPLs into corporate and retail, and where do you see more of a deterioration and where you're more worried about, excluding, of course, FX option effect. And the other question on the provisioning level is your provisioning coverage dropped this quarter. Where do you see it heading to, whether this is sustainable, that it can drop that much, and is it a sustainable level right now, or you are planning to increase it or decrease it?
Sorry, can you a bit summarize and repeat the second question or the second part of your question?
Of course, your provisioning coverage dropped this quarter, and I'm trying to get why is that, and where do you see provisioning coverage in the future?
Okay, I will ask Mirek, our CFO, Mr. Boda, to answer that.
The first issue is the answer is in our report on the page 37. You may see that exposure in retail grow by the between the last quarter of 2008 and the first quarter 2009. The exposure in retail NPL exposure in retail grow by about 23 million zloty only, and the major or the main growth is on the corporate side, where the exposure grew from 348 to the 631, so that's more or less, 80 million zloty. 380 million zloty, or 280 million, sorry. Yeah, you can find it in our report. Yes?
Yes, okay. I'm just trying to get a flavor. What do you see going forward from first quarter for the following two months that were already passed?
Well, we certainly are not commenting on 2 months that already passed, so we only can relate to the figures that are presented in that respect, public company and rules in that respect. I understand that you are trying to get a hint. Unfortunately, I don't think that you can draw any conclusion for forecasting what the future will be. Certainly, we cannot provide you with any figures in that respect, but also the situation is quite uncertain in that respect. What you can read from our report is pretty obvious that we are not seeing any drastic or significant deterioration in the quality of the portfolios. Actually, none of them.
Okay, perfect. And on the provisioning coverage?
I would say that the reason probably in the provisioning coverage is that we just reclassify the loans based on the financial standing of the corporation. So that's not the situation that in the NPL portfolio we have really dead cases, that never anything will be covered, yes? Or recovered, sorry. So I would say the main reason is that this is this growth of the NPL on the corporate side. It's mainly the reclassification of the clients because of their financial standing, but definitely that's not the, lost cases, yes?
So you basically think that they can recover?
Yeah. Well, not only that they recover, actually they have not defaulted.
Because we talk about the impairment, I mean in the balance sheet, we have the part that, in our assessment, can be just collected, discounted to the present value. Yes, that's the rules. So basically, we assume that the majority of this NPL can be recovered, and only a part is covered by the provision. Yeah, is it clear?
Clear, sure.
Hi, this is Tomasz Walkowicz, UBS. I have a more strategic question. Recent months, quarters, we can see that your loan growth is accelerating and deposit growth is slowing. It seems like you're not participating in the deposit war. Wanted to ask why is that, and what's your plan? Are you now willing more to be a player in lending, and do you have any volume growth targets? And probably a related question on the capitalization. Is the current level of capitalization sustainable? I mean, can you sustain your loan growth with the capitalization you have? And the other question, if we assume that you continue growing in loans, probably you have to convert part of your liquid assets into loans. So how would it affect P&L if there would be an effect? So this would be one question, then I would have another one.
Okay. So one by one?
Yeah.
First, we are growing our assets and our lending with the, let's say, normal speed for the normal circumstances. So we have not pressed the gas forward. We are not speeding up. We are just moving forward. I know from the previous meetings that the question is about the comparison of growth of our exposure versus first quarter 2008 and first quarter 2009. I'm underlying first quarter 2008 was abnormal. That was the case when the whole market was granting mortgages, residential mortgages in Swiss franc. That was one of these crazy quarters of total non-essential situation on the market. First quarter 2009, ironically, it's more normal. That's first start. So we are running the normal element of lending. We are not speeding up at the same time. Just to be extremely and more precise in that respect, we have not waived our conservative approach to the quality of the portfolio. We are not fighting for market share through lowering the credit portfolio rule. We are remaining a normal bank, but at the same time, as we have not get crazy at the time of lending euphoria, we are also not getting crazy in the situation of lack of euphoria, or actually opposite situation. Deposits, certainly we are having the deposit loan deposit ratio, which is increasing, but it is still absolutely safe, even for the saving bank that we are. So we are having space for normal lending operation. The fact that we are not participating in the price war, it's quite obvious. Fighting for, and I will now use perhaps the quite proper phrase, fighting for hot money with margins so negatively impacting the P&L does not make sense, does not change the strategic position of the bank. It only creates the increased losses and is misleading to the market. That's why we don't participate in that part of the game. Once again, if you look at our figure and look at the core of our deposit base, it's remaining and it's very stable. Third point, a discrepancy on marginal levels between the growth of assets and growth of deposits, and the fact that we have to liquidate or convert into other source of the assets to fund the lending growth. We actually have converted quite a lot of our securities into very liquid and short-term liquid assets already, because in the past we were, of course, first afraid of the situation that we might lead to the high outflows, which was unpredictable. So any rationally thinking company must have this money collected. So we are actually having at the moment a pot of very liquid assets that we can finance that with the normal precise manner and not necessarily sell the assets. As we have announced previously, we have participated in repos operation in fourth quarter last year to really be very conservatively prepared for the worst. We are now limiting our position in repos because we don't need it. At the same time, by regulation, we reduced our position in the few months term deposits kept with ING, which was for us very beneficial, let's put it that way. But we have to reduce that level and also convert that into a pool of liquidity plus investment. So we are well prepared for the growth of lending assets. Fourth element that you have raised is the capitalization. As you are seeing, our consolidated solvency ratio is 10.1. The times are not to get too low. So normally we will be very happy about that level. This is not the times to be happy with that kind of levels. So as we have already announced previously, if our levels of solvency ratio are going down, and they will, as you can imagine, because there is no really, in principle, there is no other source of increasing the capital base at the moment, and the profitability of last half of the year is not very high, So we said that in that situation, the bank will react in drawing the sub-debt, and to finance and to increase the capital base by that factor. And we are having plenty of space from capital point of view, because, as you know, we are having no sub-debt at the moment.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
so thanks. I understand that the conversion of liquid assets into loans, it
yes.
shouldn't create a gain or loss. There should be no impact on the P&L.
No. Oh, insignificant. Let's put it that way, because...
Okay.
It's too sharp.
Maybe coming back to this question about loan growth, because if we look at absolute loan growth in your P&L balance sheet, then the last two quarters, the loan growth was between 3 and 4 billion, and let's say 2007 and early 2008, it was around 1 billion, maximum 2 billion. So I was just wondering, still it seems that you sort of accelerating, and I was wondering if you now more selective and you think that even
first
that other...
is
yeah.
the growth of 1.3 billion. We are very selective.
Mm-hmm.
First, you see the growth of corporate. There is, of course, the lack of demand, but we are also very selective. Second, we have announced it very, very clearly. We predominantly are switching off the attraction or attracting the customer for lending who are not our current customers. So we are limited ourselves to the customers we know. Okay? In
okay.
retail, that means predominantly we are concentrated on the customers who are with us, who are having the current account with us, which the transaction we know, who are having assets with us. So the customers we are able to pre-score. So we in advance can say how much we can lend to them. We also reducing significantly our cooperation with intermediaries on the market, on the mortgage market, which we actually did into or get into last year when we started to sell Swiss francs. We, of course, were prepared for cooperation with intermediaries, and we get there. The issue is now we switch it off. So we are ready to speed it up. However, at the moment, as I said, we concentrate and the whole growth is for our customers. So we are, in our view, we are very selective. We have tightened our rules for granting loans, and we have increased the prices. Right? And once again, the growth is 1.3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
What you can say is the fast move, but as I'm saying, this first quarter of 2009 for us is the first quarter that the market is operating from, let's say, environmental levels, is the first quarter of normal operation. Specifically, I'm referring to the Swiss franc mortgages, which disappeared. Thanks
okay.
God, and for the first time. So the market is starting to operate more rational. And I know that that's not what you can see. You can see that the market is crazy now and so on and so forth. That's not true. It was crazy before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's a slow growth for the bank in normal situation.
Okay, maybe one question about personnel costs. I saw that in Q1 these costs were quite low. Was there any release of provisions for bonuses and any one-off effect?
Yeah, the answer is very simple, as we informed today as well. The personal expenses are lower because we did not pay out the bonus for our staff for the first quarter. Because
and
just according to the bank, let's say internal regulation, the result of the bank did not achieve the level assumed in the targets for the business plan.
Okay. That's it from me. Thank you.
Hi, I still have a question or two. It's Marta Czajkowska from KBC. On the cost side, maybe some follow-up. Were you postponing any cost for the further quarters? This quarter, for example, No marketing spending, I guess, for this quarter. Are you planning to have any budget for marketing this year?
No, excuse me, I'm sorry. Marketing is something of vital importance for us, and we are, when there is a rationale, we are not saving on that. So, sorry, but marketing is not the saving element. Marketing, we have a spend, and this is more or less from our side, it's more or less the same spend as we did before. We reduced the marketing, but we have one only campaign this quarter, but mm-hmm. it happened. And we are, let's say, more selective about marketing, but not for the reason of saving the costs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just money down the drain. You go to the television, you make a pretty expensive media campaign for term deposit, and you get 400 million. So that's the element that all the profit from that operation you put down the drain because of the cost of television. So I think that is very easy to count that it doesn't make sense too much. That's first issue. So not costing on that. On delaying the costs, not at all, unless unless we take that as an example that, for instance, building up new branches or any project of expansion was delayed for the full year. But that's perhaps not what you are saying.
No,
right?
No, not really.
So no, we don't operate that manner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We act as normally. This is really a normal quarter for us. We are not panicking because nothing of panic is happening.
I understand. And maybe the second question would be on the deposit and in respect to your margin, whether this very stable margin is sustainable, and this is mostly connected with all your hedging, that you have natural hedging on your savings account, and whether we can see still kind of a flat margin, even though the interest rate, market interest rate, should stabilize somewhat.
I'm not sure I understand the question about the margins for deposits. Can you perhaps rephrase that?
I'm asking whether we can still expect basically stable margin for the bank, net interest margin.
They're not stable.
For the
they
quarter.
They are very volatile.
Well, for the quarter, it was kind of stable.
Yeah.
For ING, as compared to other banks. I'm asking whether you see this to be due to your natural hedging on your deposits, and whether we can see it in the future quarters.
Listen, the big volatility on the margin, if we are still running on the margin compared to the, let's say, interbank rate, because not every bank perhaps is doing that, but doesn't matter. If we take this margin into account, then what we certainly are saying is that margins will go up on credits because the marginal margins on the new production of credit is certainly higher than the average for the whole portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
That's first issue. Second issue is the deposit portfolios. So the deposit portfolio, as you can see, in our case, a big portion of the whole deposit portfolio is constituted on current accounts and savings accounts, especially in retail, but also a portion of that in mid-corporate customers. And this portfolio, actually, though we have shortened the duration of the investment matching that portfolio, this is still longer than 6 months, over which period of time we are seeing the drop of interest rate. So in natural level, this portion of the portfolio, pretty stable one, which we call a core, is actually improving. Then the third element that I want to mention is that marginal portion in the structure of deposit created by term deposit purchased during the price war is relatively low, and that is dragging the margin of deposits in other banks down. And that's it. So our margin of lending is actually growing because we produce lending,
mm-hmm.
and marginal margins are higher than average on deposits
we are benefiting from the fact that old portfolio is increasing the margin while new portfolio is not growing. I think that's what I can comment.
Okay, and you are not planning to enter the deposit war as far as it is on the market?
Well, I cannot say. Mm-hmm. I cannot say because we are just running the business. Right? We are running the business. So when there will be opportunity for us to, in stable manner, to earn money, we will use it. I don't know what the situation of the market will be in even tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And right now you still see a deposit war on the market.
Excuse me?
Are you still seeing a deposit war on the market of retail deposits currently?
No doubt.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Could I, Tomasz Walkowicz, UBS, could I follow up on this question? I don't get the story with the old deposits, why your margin is increasing there due to the hedging, right? Or is there another reason for this?
Let's put that in a perspective, right? The decision about the margin is in our hands. If I'm having savings deposit that I had, say, 6 months ago, and I invested that at, say, 6%, if the interest rate is dropping at the moment, I can drop the rates to the customers. I'm not saying we are doing that, but we are following more or less what's going on with the normal rates on the market, and our core savings rate is 350 at the moment. So if I'm still having the matching investment on the market, say 6 months ago done at 6%, every time I'm dropping the interest paid to the customer, my margin is increasing.
I understand.
So that's the phenomena of the old portfolio of the so-called core deposits according to the Basel II definitions. So any deposit which is having the variable based on the decision of the bank position and is having open duration or open term or tenor.
And what's the maturity on the asset side when you rate invest these funds?
Well, as I said, and now I'm rather skeptical in revealing that information.
Okay.
I think it's still pretty secret. I said that this is shortened, and we have informed you a year ago that that was 1.5 years.
Okay, thank you very much. One more question about FX options. Is it likely that there would be any losses in trading income on FX options in the next quarters, or is rather the matter of the provisions line only?
No, I cannot exclude any position.
I see. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Sorry. If not, then I will give you another 15 seconds. Maybe any questions last moment? If not, then thank you very much for the meeting. It's our second meeting today, so thank you for the interest in the results of our company, and let's see each other or let's hear each other in a quarter, right?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.